Very thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Very thankful for the blessings and the privilege to stand before you. Brother Dubar said a couple of things that I was chewing on just a little bit. And when he said that people write books for their circumstance that they're in. And you know they do. There's more books than we could ever count in this world. This book right here was written for whatever circumstance we were in. This is the one that we need to be reading and the one we need to be studying. And that letter, I've heard many times about that letter that Brother Daugherty had sent to Billy Graham and him saying that what this Bible teaches and what we believe as Old Lion doesn't pay the bills. Brothers and sisters, I'm worried about the bill that was paid. That's the one that's really matter. Where Brother Hall was at, I want to read just a little bit to kind of add what he was, hook on to what he was saying, because what was on my mind this morning, there in Isaiah chapter 43, Brother Hall was talking about, you know, when we pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And this is Isaiah 43, if you want to go back and just look. It says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle thee. You know, when we think about what Isaiah here is writing, there's a word, and so many times in my reading, I've read so many of these verses so many times, I'll read it and just kind of plow right through it. You know, every word, every letter is so important in God's writings that sometimes I have to stop and be reminded of the first word of that verse, Isaiah 43:2. It says when. It doesn't say if, it says when. We're going to go through those things sometime in our life. You're going through as individuals, as families, as a church. You're going to go through those things in your life. You're going to go through the water. There's going to be, and maybe a literal flood as somebody's experiencing right now with all of it, but there's going to be those times it's going to be that flood of emotions. It's going to be that flood that we're going through. We're going to go through that fire. When we do that, he says, I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. When we remember those things, the one that wrote this was Isaiah, who penned it down, but the author of it, the one that moved Isaiah was God Almighty. I was just chewing on so many things that Brother Hall had brought out, the things that Brother Dubar brought out. You know those there, when we go through that fire, Brother Hall brought out about those three Hebrew children. They went through a fire.
Yes, sir.
But you know when King Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he saw four in that fiery furnace. He said one of them was as the face of God, of the Son of God. I can't get my wording just right. He saw the Lord with those three there. Mm-hmm. They went through that fire. The Lord was with them. And you know when they come out of that fire, there wasn't even the smell of smoke on their clothes. Those are little words so many times that the world would read over and go, wow, you think about that. And I've said it myself. I've said it here. I can remember burning garbage. Heck, go out. We had the burn barrel, the burn pile when I was growing up. I know that's not very popular now or anything, but we'd throw the paper out and burn it. And I'd get down there and be playing in it. I'd have me a stick. I'd be poking around in it. My mother would call, get out of that before you get burnt. You know, I'd come to the house. Had that smell of smoke. I'm about to go take a bath before I could go to bed. I just couldn't stand that smell. I can do it now when I'm out working. I can have that smell. If I've been working, welding something or whatever, I can be reminded I went through something. You've been through something. You're going through something. He is there with you. Even in verse 4 there in Isaiah, it says, since thou was precious in my sight, since you are precious in his sight, you're precious. You know why you're precious? Because we've already heard about, because he died for us. He loved us with an everlasting love. He sent his son to die for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As a young boy, a lot of times as teenagers, you like to kind of come up with a little saying to think it'd be your little own unique saying. I used to think sometimes, man, I get cut. I said, boy, that's precious blood. That's Tony Lester's blood. That's nothing compared to Jesus Christ's blood. That's what died. Who died for us? That's what paid that payment for us. Because we were precious in his sight. He is precious in our sight. But brothers and sisters, He saw us when we were wretched sinners. Mm-hmm. He saw us when we had nothing in us to love. When we were His enemy, He said, I still love them. I love them because I have set my love upon them. You know, you and I might look at somebody and say, yeah, I kind of like that person. They do this, they do that. They talk to me, they're friendly. We look at conditions a lot of times on who we call our friends or something. But Jesus Christ saw us when we were nothing and less than nothing. He says, I love them because I choose to love them. That's an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, He hath drawn. We've been drawn because of His love. He says, since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. He said, I'll give men for thee and people for thy life. You know, the Lord didn't send men to pay a price. He came and paid that price Himself. But He calls men from the walks of life. He calls men and gives them a gift. To preach this gospel, to feed His sheep, to comfort them, to be reminders. I think Brother Dubar, or Brother Hall, I can't remember which one said, but we need to be, you know, preachers need to hear preaching.
Yes, sir.
You better believe it.
Yes, sir.
We all need to be reminded. We go through those fires, those floods, but we all went through that, the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, those that He chose. He sends those men to remind us to hear these things again and again and again and to strengthen us and comfort us. Mm-hmm. Is that verse 5, those first two words says, fear not.
Yeah.
For I am with thee. Fear not. Brother David, it was very, very true in what he said. You know, we come to the meetings. We come wanting to hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to hear the gospel preached. But there are those times when the Lord puts something upon a man's heart. If we're a minister, sometimes we go, well, I'm not sure why this is on my heart. I'm not sure why it's on my mind. Maybe I've been studying something totally different that week, but that morning or that maybe even time. I saw Brother Larry Wise one time standing in this very pulpit. I think I was pastoring here. Brother Philip may have even been here, but Brother Larry got up. He laid his Bible down, and he stopped, and he looked at the congregation. Brother Larry, I remember that I was sitting right over there very well. And you flipped about four books over. He said, my mind has just got changed. And the Lord blessed that sermon so greatly that day. The Lord knew what we needed that day here in Macedonia. He knows what we're going to need tomorrow, the next day, whatever. He sends men to remind us of these things. To fear not, I am with thee. When you're going through those things, He's right there with us. You know, there's a account of one over in the book of 1 Kings. This is, and I say this because I got up this morning with this on my mind about Elijah. There's an account here in 1 Kings. This is right after. This is 1 Kings chapter 19. Right after Elijah has been blessed by God, by the power of God, to call down that fire. They made those altars. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Brothers and sisters, we've got rain, I think, for enough for 3.5 years sometimes right now. But Elijah was a man of like passions just like we are. And he prayed. James tells us in James 5, he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years because God answered that prayer. God's the one said, you pray, I'll answer it. Brother and sister, that's something we need to remind of. We need to be praying and He's going to answer. May not always be the answer that we think we need, but He's going to answer that prayer the way that we need it because we are precious in His sight. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And there were those there that was serving Ahab, the king, and they were serving those false idols. They was serving the false gods, and they built those two altars. You know the account. And they built their altar to their pagan gods, and they cut themselves. They prayed. They did whatever, all the things they were doing. Nothing happened. And when Elijah had them build that altar and put that sacrifice up there and pour those barrels of water around it, dig that little trench that all the water was there, God sent down fire. Consumed everything there, even licked up the water in the trench there. God showed His power. God showed, I am with Elijah. God was reminding some, I believe it was out there, that even to the point that they were serving, I'm still your God, and you know this. You feel it in your hearts. Because that Spirit of God resonates with the spirit of man. It resonates with us because we are His. But you know, just as soon as that happened, even goes out, Elijah, and they kill the prophets of Baal. And then here you come to chapter 19. It says that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets of the sword. And Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me more also if I make not thy life as the one of them tomorrow about this time. You know, Jezebel, she's mad because he's destroyed all these false prophets, all these false prophets of Baal. She says, Elijah, I'm going to have your life. I'm the queen of this land. You know, that was one of those things that at that time Elijah started thinking as a man. He turned and ran. He had seen all the glory and the power of God. This was a man called of God to preach this gospel. And he fled. It says, and when he saw and rose and went for his life to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He said, it is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. This man has gone from one of the highest highs to a very lowest lows. He wants to die. Lord, just take me out of this. You know, we can be up on those mountaintops. And I love mountaintop experiences. And yes, I love that. And we are in that mountain. But you know, sometimes we do the most growing when we're down in those valleys. Mm-hmm. When we're going through things and God is right there with us. And He reminds us. Sometimes it's through the preaching of the gospel. Through this gospel, we're reminded He is right there with us. Just like Joshua, whenever he was there, Brother Hall mentioned him about how that... go over to the book of Joshua in that first chapter there, that Moses has died. Now, Moses and Aaron were not allowed to lead the children of Israel over into Canaan's land. And the Lord is talking to Joshua there and says, you're going to be the one that's going to lead the children of Israel over into Canaan's land. He said, but fear not. He said, be of good courage because I am with thee. You know, you think about what Joshua was facing there. All those 40 years, he had saw this man that God had called, the prophet of God, to lead them about. He had saw God just time after time after time use Moses to show His power and His glory, how that water came out of that flinty rock, how that there was, you know, the Red Sea parted there because of what the Lord did. But he saw Moses being the one that everybody was looking to, how that God had been with him. And now Moses is gone, and the Lord's saying, Joshua, you're going to be the one. Now that's a scary thing. I'm not looking at some estimated anywhere from 1 to 2 million people, but brothers and sisters, it's a scary thing to stand before the Lord's people and declare God's word. But you know how we're able as men to do that? Because God is with us.
Yeah.
And you know how you're able to sit there and receive these things and rejoice in them, and knowing that you're going through some of the hardest times in your life, maybe it's because God is with you.
That's right.
He's strengthening you. God's the one that gets all the glory on both sides. Because if it was not for God, you wouldn't want me standing before you. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, some of you might not even be sitting out there, because you'd have other things on your heart and mind this morning. We hadn't seen the sun in, I don't know, a week or two. Brothers and sisters, we're here to be reminded of what God has done. He has been the one that's walked with us and is still walking with us. Elijah had to be reminded of that. Even by God himself said he went a day's journey. He's under a juniper tree and he's begging, Lord, just take me on. Take me out of this world. He's beat down. He's destroyed. He's about to the point he's giving up. He's went through some fires and some floods. Even as a prophet. Even as a man of God. He says, but I'm not better than my fathers. He said, just let me go to be with them. You know, there was something I was reading this morning that kind of jumped out at me just a little bit there in verse 3. It says, and when he saw that he arose and he went with his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. I remind myself so many times that the Lord does not put words in the Bible just to be a filler. They're there for a reason. Sometimes I don't ever know the reason. Sometimes it takes the Lord a while before he shows me that. But here was a man, Elijah's servant, doesn't matter who his name was. This man had been walking with him and going with him. He saw the things that Elijah had saw. He had been there with Elijah going through a lot of those things. Matter of fact, when you go back into 1 Kings 8, let me find my place here. He said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And he went up and he looked and he said, this is verse 43, he said, "There is nothing." He said, "Go again seven times." And it came to pass the seventh time, he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud of the sea, like a man's hand." He said, "Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare ye thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." That servant was the one Elijah said, "You go look." He said, "You keep going back until you see it." That servant's one that brought back said, "There's a cloud like a man's hand." He said, "Now you go tell Ahab, it's fixing to rain." That man saw. But yet when Elijah was beat down and cast down, he left him.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, so many times that's our nature when we're beat down and we're cast down. We're going through those fires. I just say, "Just leave me alone." No, that's when we need to be with the Lord's people. That's when we need to be here hearing this gospel preached. That's when the Lord so many times has sent our brothers and sisters to help us to get through those things, to go through those fires, to go through those floods, to help us in those times whenever our heart is breaking, whenever it's a church body. I'm so thankful for this meeting because we all needed it today. Because the Lord knows we need to be with our brothers and sisters, but we need to be with Him most importantly.
Yeah.
And right here is where He said He'd come down and dwell with us.
Yeah.
Those that are two or three are met together, am I in the midst of thee? Brothers and sisters, there's more than two or three, but the main one I'm feeling today is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, He even told Joshua there over in Joshua chapter 1, he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, Paul, he wrote that again over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He reminded them again. We need to be reminded the Lord is always there with us. He'll get you through those things. Elijah had one that could have... Elijah, do you remember what he did to the altar? He left him. He went a day's journey. But you know, that's nothing for the Lord to take care of. He said, "As he lay, he slept under a juniper tree. Behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake beaten on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." Elijah's laying there asleep under this juniper tree. He's trying to get a little bit of shade. You know, he's out in a place in a barren, you know, he said he, let me get my wording here just a little bit. And he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness. And he's under a juniper tree, just finding somewhere to take refuge in this world. Brothers and sisters, we have the house of the Lord. We have Mount Zion, a place to take refuge, to come in. And the Lord can, but he can nudge us. I believe today he can say, "Here's something to eat and drink. Take it, eat. Don't go to sleep on me. Wake up and realize I'm with you." And there is a place of rest. You know, Elijah, he'd gone through a lot. He probably was wore out a little bit. There's a place that we can come and take rest. And I'm not saying sit on the pew and sleep. Even though we can, ministers do see that. And I fought it too, so I'm just as guilty. But brothers and sisters, this is a place of refuge. A place of comfort. Because this is God's house. Not this building, but because God has said where you meet. We could have been, I'm very thankful that we're not out as cold as it is today. We could have been outside under an oak tree or somewhere. But wherever we have met is His bride, to worship Him and pray to Him. There He is comforting us. And that can be in your house. I know you think so many times about how just they met in caves or wherever they wanted to be together to worship their Lord and Savior. And it says, "And he looked and beheld, there was that cake. It was baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Elijah had ate one. He'd already ate and drank the first time, and he went back and slept. It said that angel came again and brought him another cruse of water and something to eat. And he tells him, "Rise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of journeys that we're going to go on. Maybe you're right in the middle of, just starting, coming out of the end of, or maybe you're looking back on and you look back and say, that journey was way too great for me. Only God got me through that. Only the Lord could deliver me through that. But you know, there's something else there about that eating and drinking. What we've been given in the book that is for all occasions, for all that we're going through, it's described in so many times as manna from heaven. This gospel, I think of that, you know, beautiful picture there where the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness those 40 years, and that manna would come down from heaven and feed them every day. They would go out, they had exactly what they needed. And that's the same with us right here. We have exactly what we need. There's some laboring we need to do. They had to go out and to gather up that manna. There was some, you know, some rules on how they were to do that. They weren't supposed to take more twice on one day, other than unless it was the sixth day. If you went out on the second day and you said, "Well, I'm going to be lazy and sleep in tomorrow," you know what would happen to that manna? It would be stink and have worms in it. It would stink. It was no good. You couldn't use it. They were told this is how you're to go and to take that manna every day. No man had too much. No man or woman or child had too little. They all had what they need. Right here is everything we need. We just need to be getting in it and reading and studying and meditating on it and saying, "Lord, show me. Show me what I need. Open my eyes to some of those things." Maybe it's something that you're going through and saying, "Lord, show me I need it, what I need today." Be reminded of who wrote this book. And I mean really the author of it. God. The journey is too great for you. But when God is with us, it is never too great. He was given a double portion that day. He was going to go 40 days without food and water. Sometimes I think I can't go 40 minutes. But God knew what Elijah needed that day. He gave him a double portion. God knows what you need as an individual, as a family, as a church. And so many times He gives us a double portion. He gives us manna that we can feed upon for the rest of our lives. You know, that manna was something, like I said, if they took a double portion other than on the sixth day, it would spoil. It would stink. That sixth day, the Lord blessed it. What they needed for that seventh day would be fresh and good for them to eat upon. The Lord knew what they needed. They needed a double portion on that day. You can go over to the book of Hebrews, it's chapter 9. I can't remember if it's verse 4 or 5 right in there, but it's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. There was three things that was in that ark. There was Aaron's rod that budded. There was the tablets there, the law. But there was the golden pot of manna. God told them to take some of that manna, put it in a golden pot, and put it in the Ark of that Covenant. Mm-hmm. You know that? That manna never spoiled.
That's right.
God was always keeping that manna. This manna never spoils. God is always keeping it. And it's what we need every day, especially when we're going through those fires and those trials and tribulations. You know, when Peter was there after he had denied the Lord those three times and they had crucified him and laid him in a borrowed tomb, he said, "I go fishing." Peter and those apostles went back right back to what they had just, they were naturally knew. This was felt comfortable to them, what they had always do. But yet when they had toiled all night, these men that knew how to fish, they ain't like me, I can wet a hook and I can catch a few fish, but these men knew what they were doing. They had caught nothing. But yet when they saw Jesus on the bank, and at that moment, Peter didn't know exactly who it was. And John said, it's the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. He knew. You know, Peter didn't wait around. He didn't say, let's hurry up, get up there. He dove in and he went to him. Brother and sister, that's the thing. Peter knew he needed to go. He needed something from the Lord. He knew he had denied him those three times. He went to him. He didn't wait around. He went to the one that could give him that peace, that comfort, that relief of what he needed. And when he got there, what did the Lord have? He had food for him and ready for him. Brother and sister, it's the same with us. Whenever we're going through those things, whenever we're hurting, go to him. He knows exactly what you're needing. He had those fish and bread right there for the apostles on the shore waiting for them. They brought in a great draw of fish after that. The Lord was there. They brought it in. He already had it ready for them. He knew what they needed. He knows what we need when we go to him. He knew it before we was going to go through those trials. He knew it before the foundation of the world. And then when Peter's standing or there talking with him, and he asked him those three questions. You know these, but I want to remind myself of these things. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. And he asked him again, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I do. He said, then feed my sheep. And that third time he said, feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. Feed them this manna. Feed them this gospel, this good news. Because there's going to be a time we're all going to need this double portion. Because that journey is going to be too great for us. What we need is to go to him. We need to be reminded that pot of manna didn't spoil. It is not going to spoil on us today. We need to be going to him. There's a verse over in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 10. It's not just a verse, but there's a couple of verses. Revelation chapter 10. I'm going to read them. Just set the stage just a little bit, set the groundwork. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 here, John's writing says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it was their sun, and his feet were pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. Now, the part I want to get there is this is an angel. It says it has a little book in his hand, and he's come down. What we have today, brothers and sisters, has come down a book that's been opened for us from heaven. I believe here this is a picture of the gospel. Now, there's a lot more contained in that, but the point I want to get, because my time's running out very short, what that angel brought down, what that servant of God had brought down, was a book that had been opened. To a child of God, to one that believes and truly is seeking, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Those that are seeking after the Word of God, those that are hungering and thirsting, there's some of that life. There has to be life before I get hungry and thirsty. There's got to be a life. These are born-again children of God. You will be filled. When you're going to the Lord and seeking and looking, this angel is brought down. This angel is in service. You know, that's all that these men, these some 40 men that penned this gospel down, they're servants. And there's many places, and that's a whole other subject for us, but there's many times and it talks about those angels. Man, it's talking about the preacher. It's talking about the service, those that are bringing this food. He told Peter to feed the lambs and the sheep. He's to bring it. There, when he fed the multitude those two different times, he fed 5,000, not counting women and children. Another time he fed 4,000. They doled out the fish and the bread, but it was God that was blessing it. It's God that blesses whenever you're going through those trials and tribulations, that you can hear this gospel preached, that you can remember those double portions. Mm-hmm. Elijah went for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water from the strength of what God had given him. There's many things that you're going through, you can draw strength from what the Lord has blessed you. From sermons in past, from men that you've heard preach, from words you've sat down and read and studied, and God has blessed you to see what He's teaching. You draw strength and comfort from that. And sometimes that journey could be more than just 40 days. It could be 40 years as a children of Israel. The Lord was with them that whole time. Even when they were disobedient, He still was with them. This book had been sent down. And then verse 8, and skip down to that. It says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." You know, that's the gospel. We need to be taking this book and just eating it up. We need to be eating it up and learning and studying and memorizing and hiding it in our heart as much as we possibly can. Because it is sweet in our mouth. But there's those times it is bitter when I start seeing, I start looking how I am versus the Word of God. But you know, it's still the Word of God. It's still sweet. It's still, that honey gives us strength. You know, that's one of those foods that so many of the nutritionists and scientists and stuff look at today and still marvel at it. How much energy and how much strength and how nutritious honey is. You can take just a little honey and it'll give you that revive that you need sometimes. Sometimes it's just digging into the Word of God. Sometimes it's coming to the house of God and being reminded that He is on His throne. He is the one that will get you through as an individual, as a family, as a church. Let's continue to look to Him. Let's continue to feed upon that manna that God sends down. And I'm going to go back to what He told Joshua, because Macedonia Church, and there's two brothers here from Beulah, you hear me say this all the time, and it's sweet words to me, because He's promised. And this is a God that cannot lie. Yeah. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I thank You for Your kind attention. May the Lord richly bless you.